Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today's no exception. We have a great guest, but first, a chat about goal setting. Goal setting is one of the most important aspects to achieving anything in life. If you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else. I'd like to invite you to join me for 3 days on the Mexican Riviera for an intensive goal setting retreat so that you start your 2020 with energy, purpose, focus, and momentum. The annual goal setting retreat will take place over the first weekend in December on the beautiful Mexican Riviera. Registration will open up on July 31st. If you're interested in learning more, send an email to goals@victorjm.com and you'll be among the first to have the opportunity to join me in Mexico. We keep these retreats small and intimate. This event will sell out. Send an email to goals@victorjm.com. That's goals@victorjm.com. We're back here on the weekend edition. We interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. We've got a great guest today all the way from Sacramento, California. Welcome to the show, Brett Swartz.
Thanks, Victor, for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So, Brett, you've been working in real estate for a number of years, and you've got some unique strategies that probably our listeners have not heard about before. But before we dive into that, why don't you give a little bit of your backstory and how you got into this world?
Yes, thanks, Victor. I'm originally from Mission San Jose, the Bay Area, Fremont area. I started with my father building custom homes. It was in the MC Hammer 80s days as a kid, and he actually built a home not too far from the big mansion that MC Hammer had on the hill. And so I learned how the sticks and bricks of real estate worked, and then as well investment real estate over the years as they had rentals, my parents did. From there, I went to college. I studied business and joined a company called Marcus & Millichap, where I learned investment brokerage here in Northern California, really a focus on multifamily, commercial real estate. During that journey, you know, we had clients who really struggled with capital gains tax and ways to defer. And we always typically use the 1031 exchange to help them defer. But along the journey, we learned about the deferred sales trust, which has led me to where I'm at today.
I love it. So what is the deferred sales trust?
So the deferred sales trust is just a manufactured installment sale. Your listeners may know it as a seller carry back, you know, if they were to carry paper. It's based upon IRC 453, which is part of the tax code, as opposed to the IRC 1031, which is a different part of the tax code. But the key is it's a tax deferral tool that we have at our disposal. In particular, we use that that installment sale with a trust, a third-party trust, which is where we jump in right before close of escrow. And we're actually going to buy it from the seller and turn around and sell it to the buyer who was already lined up. And the unique part about it is that the funds are now in a diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, mutual funds of your client's choosing. But better than that, they can invest it back into commercial real estate at their own timing. They're no longer tied to the old property or the old business or the old buyer who purchased the asset from them.
So precisely what is the mechanism for deferring the tax?
So IRC 453, how it stands is if you don't receive principal balance, Victor, from the sale, you don't owe the tax. Or another way to think about it, if you have employees, if you don't pay them, they haven't received actual funds. Another way to think about it would be for like a 1031 exchange. Let's say Victor's selling a property and he says, hey, Mr. Escrow, I don't want to actually receive those funds. Send those to the 1031 company, so let them hold the funds. And therefore, you maintain what's called non-actual receipt or non-constructive receipt. If they make a mistake and accidentally send you those funds, it's too late to your personal account. So the same concept applies in that the funds are going to go to this trust, and the trust is going to kind of hold the funds. It's sort of like a SEP IRA, if you think about it. The tool is the trust. The mechanism is IRC 453, which is an installment sale. And it maintains tax deferral until you take actual receipt of the principal balance. Or if you take interest payments, you'll just pay the ordinary income off the interest that it earns.
Fascinating. And so by the sounds of it, this could apply to multiple different asset classes, not just real estate.
Yeah, that's really the power of the deferred sales trust in that it applies to high-end luxury homes. We've done a number of those deals, especially recently in the Bay Area and in Southern California. It applies to businesses, as you may or may not know, but most businesses will not do a 1031. In fact, they'll just pay the tax. And so we think high-end luxury homes are probably, and businesses are probably the two best ones. Then the next one would be commercial real estate. They do have a 1031 exchange and some other alternatives, but we think it's a great time in this highly appreciated market. And the last things would be collectibles or artwork or carried interest for the syndicators we work with. If they have carried interest, that's taxed as capital gains tax. We can use the deferred sales trust in that scenario too.
With a 1031, you've got a couple of clocks that start ticking the minute you transact. For example, you have a certain number of days, I think 180 days to purchase the property. I think you have 45 days to identify. Are there any similar time limits with the deferred sales trust?
The key timelines we want to do are the first set would be before close of escrow, and more particularly before the buyer removes all contingencies. We just want to add some language into the purchase and sale agreement or a counter that states that seller has the right to a deferred sales trust at no additional cost to the buyer. So as long as we add that in before the buyer removes all contingencies, then we're in good shape. Now, a little side note, if it happens to be a commercial real estate deal and you didn't have a chance to do that, or if you're in your current 1031 exchange, we can save a failed 1031 exchange. In that case, we would just add language to the exchange agreement. And we would do that on day 46 up until day 181. So those would be the kind of the two timeframes. But again, if you're selling a luxury home, that we need to do it early. If you're selling a business, we need to do it early. Really, the only one that is we can save a failed 1031, it tends to be commercial real estate.
I love that. So give me some examples of some projects that you've completed recently with this type of mechanism.
Yeah, let's tell you about the most recent one. It was a gentleman, client of mine. His name is Peter. He lives in Marin, California. He's a long-term real estate broker. He's owned commercial real estate, has done multiple 1031 exchanges. Well, he's driving up to South Sacramento for 18 units that he was selling. And you know, he's approaching 70 years old, and he was just ready to retire. And he was managing the property himself, and he was fighting traffic from the Bay Area to Sacramento and back. And his quote was, "Look, I have 18 problems now with 18 clients." He goes, "I don't want 36 problems, and I don't want to have to overpay and take on more debt." And so what we were able to do with the deferred sales trust was help him sell the property and then pay off all of his debt. Because by the way, the deferred sales trust is, we like to call it the debt-free plan for your commercial real estate or business, because you don't have to replace the debt when you go to like a 1031 would. So he was able to get debt-free and then put all of his funds into stocks, bonds, mutual funds of his choosing, and just have time and energy back, because those are really the internal motivations for most of our clients. You know, they've earned their wealth and they're part of the baby boomer generation, which is the largest wealth accumulation in the history of the world. And there's about $17 trillion that will pass starting really today and the next 20 years. And the biggest thing is these baby boomers are just looking to retire from the toilets, trash, liability, and then also not have to fight the ups and downs of what the economy can do like it did in 08. They just want a way out to enjoy their wealth. But then also they may want to get back in. And this is the great part about the deferred sales trust. Peter's plan is to invest into some syndication deals in Northern California, maybe some mobile home parks out of state, where he can get diversified within his commercial real estate. Because really, and I am biased too to commercial real estate, the stocks, bonds, and mutual funds is typically not as exciting for a lot of our clients. They made their wealth in commercial real estate, and that's where they want to be. And so he has that option to do that, and he's really happy about that.
I'm a huge fan of a strategy that starts out with leverage and then later in time results in deleverage. And the idea here is that if you have real estate that is not leveraged, it cash flows like a beast. Whereas if you have real estate that's leveraged, typically the cash flow is pretty modest. You need a lot of doors to generate decent cash flow if it's highly leveraged. So imagine for a moment, let's say you go out, you acquire 1,000 units over a period of time, but you don't really want to own and manage 1,000 units. And you could wait the 25 years for those notes to pay down, which point you own them free and clear. Or maybe after 10 years, you sell 3/4 of the portfolio and now use the proceeds to acquire a couple of hundred units free and clear. This sounds like the deferred sales trust would be the perfect vehicle to defer the tax without having to take on the new debt.
100%. And you hit it on the head, Victor. And I like to break it down into three categories for debt. And it's a way to almost think about diversifying debt and diversifying timing are the two concepts. And the first concept is smart debt, risky debt, and dumb debt. So I think smart debt in a buyer's market in a low priced environment, let's just say 5 years ago when you knew it was a buyer's market, you want to actually leverage and take advantage of these really low prices, especially if you have good credit and you have good banking relationships and you can find a value add forced appreciation opportunity. And that's the best time to take on debt. Now, the next step is risky debt. And risky debt is where you just stay where you're at and you just cash flow and you hope the rents continue to outpace where you're at and you're not taking on too much leverage. But what I call dumb debt is what happened in the 05, 06, 07 run-up, and that people were getting such great prices for the sale of their commercial real estate. But the problem was that they were doubling down and taking on more debt and buying a bigger property, right, of equal or greater value. Oftentimes it wasn't equal, it was more greater, and they were having to take on more debt. And that's when people got caught when things changed. So I think it's a great time to get out of debt right now, to sell a highly appreciated property, and then what I call sit on the sidelines until you find a deal that makes sense, and or just diversify outside of maybe one single product type or one single geography, and get diversify with multiple commercial real estate syndication opportunities or stocks, bonds, and mutual funds of your choosing. And so that's diversifying your debt. The other one is diversifying your timing. Right now, as real estate professionals, I think we would all agree now is a great seller's market to sell. But by contrast, it's not a great time to buy. And so the 1031 exchange, unfortunately, it doesn't help us to buy low. We actually end up selling high, and oftentimes 180 days later, buying higher, coupled with oftentimes interest rates going up. And so you get what's called the candle burning at both ends, and the candle represents your return. And as each candle part of it burns, your return gets smaller and smaller. And so I think you want to diversify your time, and you want to diversify your debt. And the deferred sales trust is the perfect solution for bringing those two together, because you get debt free and then you get the timing diversification to buy whenever you want to.
I love that. I love that. If folks want to learn more and they want to get in touch, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, the best way is to go to capitalgainstaxsolutions.com. And you can also go to YouTube and search Capital Gains Tax Solutions and subscribe to our channel there. I'm also on Bigger Pockets and LinkedIn. By the way, we want to educate you and empower you with a strategy. Our goal is really not to sell per se. It's really just to educate you with the tool. And as soon as you understand the tool, we think you're going to help. You think you're going to look at every deal in a new way, and hopefully create and preserve more wealth.
That's a fascinating strategy. It's one that I'd not heard of before, and so definitely reach out to Brett at CapitalGainsTaxSolutions.com. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.